Welcome to the MSP Law Podcast, where we share legal tips and strategies that help managed service providers and technology firms build a better defense. I'm your host, Tom Favinsky. One item of defense is the limitation of liability clause contained in master service agreements. A limitation of liability clause is a contract provision which allocates the responsibility or liability for certain conduct between the parties to the contract. The economics of having a contractual relationship between two parties, like a managed service provider or their clients, call into question whether the pursuit of that relationship in and of itself with unlimited exposure is even a worthwhile endeavor. As a result, the idea of limiting your liability to a certain amount has been introduced to the contract between these parties. And there are different ways to manage the risk of liability. The limitation of liability clause could actually put a cap on the total amount of damages that a party can be held liable for under the contract. Alternatively, a limitation of liability clause could actually limit the types of damages a party can pursue. For instance, eliminate consequential damages and limit it to direct damages. Still, other limitation of liability provisions I've seen have exclusions of certain claims that can be pursued or a different cap with respect to different claims. The enforceability of these provisions as drafted in the contract really are far from being a certainty. The limitation of liability clauses that seek to cap liability to a certain dollar amount will use a formula based on the amount of fees that are paid under the contract, or they will use a fraction or a multiple of the fees paid pursuant to the contract. Some have a total dollar amount irrespective of the fees. So, you know, irrespective of the fees, we're not going to be liable for more than $500,000. And others may have it limited to the amount of insurance that the vendor has in place. Most often, I like to see a combination of them. A limitation of liability clause is considered by courts to be an exculpatory clause because it actually seeks to release or waive a portion of liability in advance of the facts even giving rise to the claims. Courts are hesitant to enforce contracts where folks are waiving claims that they don't know or don't understand the totality of the damage that they're going to incur. Since these provisions prospectively waive all or a portion of some of the claims in the future, it really is subjected to additional scrutiny by the court. A limitation of liability clause will likely be strictly construed against the party who's benefited by the clause. If the language is in any way unclear, it is in any way ambiguous, or subject to multiple interpretations, the court will likely adopt an interpretation that is least beneficial to the party who had the limitation of liability clause inserted for their benefit. So caution should really be applied when crafting language of the limitation of liability, because it's going to be so narrowly construed. You want to make sure it doesn't contradict with provisions relating to indemnification or its sister provision, the limitation of remedy, or liquidated damage clause, or any other risk allocation provision in the contract. Because of this narrow construction by the courts, this is not the type of provision you want to cut and paste from the internet. Many courts have refused to enforce these limitation of liability provisions if they find the clauses against public policy or fails in its essential purpose. If the clause can be interpreted to include this waiver of liability for gross negligence, for instance, like you undertook to monitor security on behalf of a customer, but you didn't even have the tools to do it, or for intentional conduct, like you're claiming to monitor security and you know you won't be able to do it, the court will likely find a provision like this is against public policy and refuse to enforce it on the facts of those cases. Court determinations of public policy may be a bit nebulous and more opinion rather than established criteria. If the court finds that it's against public policy, the provision is out of the agreement, and it actually could even nullify the remainder of the agreement. If the limitation of liability is so broad that as it's written, it actually acts as a release for all negligent conduct, even if it's gross negligence or reckless or intentional conduct, courts might not even enforce the contract at all, even in the simple claim of negligence. The enforceability of the limitation of liability clause is not like interpreting legislation. It's not created by the legislative branch. Instead, it's interpreted through the lens of common law, the law that's made up by courts, by prior fact decisions that came before it, facts and circumstances that came before it. There is not a uniform interpretation. If the provision is found to be enforceable, it will only be enforceable as it relates to the parties to the contract. If it's crafted incorrectly, you may not be able to get coverage for your employees or owners of that entity. You may not actually have limited their liability as individuals at all. If a party to a contract is barred from recovering damages, the court might ask, well, if the other side breaches and they don't have a remedy, is there even a contract? Is there mutuality of obligations between the parties? Is there real consideration that supports the enforceability of this contract? It may look at that and say, you know, this is so unconscionable, it's so unfair, so unjust, we don't even think there's a contract. So all of your other terms and conditions in your contract might end up being thrown to the side. The likelihood of a court determining the contract is unconscionable, unfair, vague, or otherwise unenforceable is really increased if there's a disparate bargaining position between the parties. Some jurisdictions are more likely to refuse to enforce the limitation of liability clause as well. Like, for example, Alaska has found that a limitation of liability clause actually acts as a violation of anti-indemnification statutes that apply to Alaskan transactions. There's also a New Jersey case dealing with a home inspection contract where the buyer hired the home inspector, and the home inspector had this limitation of liability clause in there, and New Jersey just kind of went out and said how much they disliked these provisions, finding that it was actually a contract of adhesion between disparately positioned parties, experts versus consumer. Sound familiar? When it comes to cyber liability, you're the expert and your clients are the consumers. It would not be shocking at all if courts refuse to enforce a limitation of liability clause if it's in any way unreasonable. Other states like Wisconsin, Montana, Minnesota, Georgia, Florida, and California, they're very critical of these provisions, but they are still, you know, likely to enforce them. They're just less likely to enforce them than other jurisdictions. You know, this is not something that you want to have handled by non-professionals. You want to be able to have recourse. If you have a provision in your contract that ends up being a contract of adhesion or something like that, you want to have recourse against the parties where you receive that agreement. If it deviates from the standard of care in the industry, you have a claim that you can pursue against them. But if you pull it off the internet, you've got no claims. If you go to somebody who's a consultant in the MSP world and you say, hey, just give me, you know, your template, you have no recourse against that, other than might be able to pursue criminal charges against that person for the unauthorized practice of law. So make sure you go to a professional, a lawyer, to have your limitation of liability clause reviewed in your master service agreement. It's really, really important. Well, that's it for this episode. This is Tom Popinski. I'm an attorney with Virtus Law. My team is called the MSP Law Team. We serve MSPs, and we'd like to chat with you. Feel free to reach out to us by email. My contact information is Tom, T-O-M, at Virtus Law, V like Victor, I-R-T like Tom, U-S like United States, L-A-W.com.